Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Conscious that we got a packed program this morning, but I hope what I say this morning will have a lot of overlaps in what we've already heard. So I will be concise. Someone asked me this morning, make sure you're not boring. That I'm not sure about, but we'll see. If you're able to stand, can I encourage you to stand? And let's read God's word together. It's Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. And Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Amen. Do sit down. So just in those verses, there is a warning of a struggle not against flesh and blood. There is the promise that we are strong in the Lord in what is described as God's mighty power, a power that rose a person who was dead in the grave to life. What a mighty power. That's the power we are given. And we're instructed to put on the armor of God. We are instructed to put on the armor of God. I'm repeating that because Paul repeats it. And it covers this helmet of salvation. So I started thinking about the helmet of salvation and what's actually going on in here. I know certainly that my mind can play tricks on me, but I know equally that what I think determines how I feel and will determine how I act. If you're a scientist, you may like this screen. Your brain is a 3-pound universe that processes 70,000 thoughts each day using 100 billion neurons that connect at more than 500 trillion points through synapses that travel 300 miles per hour. I don't have a dictionary with me to understand that, but I know that our brain is marvelous. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But we need to think about getting our mindsets right this morning. So, three questions: who am I, what am I doing, and where am I going? Take a look at these pictures. Next slide. What do they have in common? A bear skin, a beret, a cricket helmet, and a school cap. What do they have in common? They go on your head. That's good. We're starting. Yep. Sorry. You wear them on your head. Yep. They're good. We need something on our heads to protect us. The helmet. No Roman soldier would have left without his helmet on. Neil. Tony. They show us who we are. Thank you, Tony. I didn't prime you. They denote who we belong to. The bearskin, the pride of the Grenadiers, the Powers Helmet, the pride of the Power Troop Regiment, Joe Root's cricket cap, proudly wearing England's badge. I'm not sure where that school cap came from, but they denote who we belong to. The answer to the question, who am I, is not what I do, it's not what nationality I have, it's not in my gender, it's not in my sexuality. The answer is in the relationships I have. The answer to who I am is whose I am. For each of us Christians this morning, that is where our identity is rooted. How can we be so sure? We've already heard that testimony in what Sun Oak said. Right at the start of Jesus' ministry, Jesus needed that reassurance. The Father wanted to give Jesus that reassurance. At his baptism, the Father says, "You are my Son, whom I love." Isaiah 43, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Isaiah 54, verse 5, "Your Maker is your husband. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer." We've been bought. We're paid for, but with a price. Take a moment to take that in. Your Maker is your husband. Your Maker is the one who loves you and in whose identity we are secure. Paul writes, "We are redeemed that we might receive adoption to sonship." We're no longer a slave. That's what Paul writes. We're God's child. Now, I'm approaching retirement age. I know I don't look that young. But the thought of stopping paid work is unnerving. It's a job I've done for 43 years. But my identity is not in the job I have. My identity is in the relationships that I have. We are sons of God. We are wives of our Maker. He is the one who promises love to us. The answer to who we are is whose we are. So secondly, what am I doing? What am I doing? God wants us to pursue goodness at every opportunity. If you've got a thought about doing something good in mind, politely get on with it. The helmet of salvation isn't Paul's idea. It's actually something that comes up in Isaiah 59. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw there was no one to intervene, so his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. And I'm going to come back to that verse. But reading earlier verses, relate righteousness and salvation are the same sides of the coin. We are saved in order to promote goodness and right living. Salvation isn't something just we look forward to in the future. It's actually what we can do today. We risk in this country righteousness and right living being boring. We're told it's goody two-shoes. We're told it's dull. But we've already heard the stories of love all, serve all, people giving out things. The recent report by the Evangelical Alliance, 20% of non-Christians recognize the church as caring, 22% recognize the church as friendly. Hooray! That is what the church is about. People are recognizing that the church is a good place. Goodness is what works. Even in the grotesque tragedy of Ukraine, we read the stories of Dnipro Hope delivering supplies to elderly widows. And hope is stirred. Goodness is good. It's what God designs us for. Those words from Isaiah, my righteousness draws near speedily, my salvation is on the way. My salvation will last forever, my righteousness will never fail. My righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. Salvation and righteousness are part of the same coin. Paul goes further, 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12. We constantly pray for you that by God's power he may bring to fruition every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. As we seek to do good, so Jesus is glorified, and so the promise is, we are glorified in him. Now, I'm not sure I understand that second bit, us being glorified in Jesus, but God understands it. That's his plan. I wonder what picture comes to mind when we think about God's glory. Perhaps it's a picture of nature. Perhaps it's a beautiful flower. As we do good, we're told that we add to God's glory. We can add to the glory of that picture of nature simply by doing good. Let us not allow goodness to get a bad name. Let us not accept the menu of anger in our soap stories. Let us not accept the ingredients of violence as a staple course in our films. Let's not stop doing good. My message for encouragement this morning, next slide, Peter. Simply, if you've got a good thought in mind, keep on keeping on going. Winston Churchill would have put it like this, KBO. And if you want to know what the B stands for, ask me afterwards. Paul writing, more scripturally, never tire of doing what is right. There is power in goodness. So what's my mindset? Who am I? I'm a child of God. What am I about? I'm promoting goodness. Where am I going? 1 in 5 non-practicing Christians asking, what happens when I die? 1 in 8 non-Christians asking the same question. Jesus said, I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a room for you. Why? That you may be where I am. Our future is secure. Jesus to the penitent robber, today you will be with me in paradise. Our future is secure. Jesus, when he died, didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. My work is complete. So I've posed 3 questions to get our mindset straight. Who are we? What are we about? And where are we going? But it's more than a mindset. Come back to Isaiah 59. The Lord's own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. The prophet is foretelling the coming of Jesus, providing salvation for us by his own arm and wearing the helmet of salvation on his head. It's Jesus' helmet, and it's passed on to each one of us. It's gifted to each one of us. Jesus knew who he was. He knew his identity. He knew his calling. And he knew where he was going. And so he gifts his helmet to us. His helmet that secures our future. It secures our identity. It secures our purpose. Know what we are about. May we wear our helmets of salvation, not proudly, but humbly and confidently. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and word." If the musicians can come up, we'll worship together, but let me pray. Our Father God, we've sung this morning, "I am who you say I am." Thank you that each one of us stands secure because of you. Lord, when we're tempted to give up, Lord, give us hope, give us encouragement, give us the awareness of that promise that we are glorifying you and that your glory has our back. And Lord, when times are tough, may we have that awareness that there is something so much better to come. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.